to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, this is the last of three lectures about Zazen. Though, then again, maybe I never talk about anything else. So, the first Saturday after New Year's, I talked about posture and the body. And last week, I talked about, I guess I would say, energy and discipline. And working with not being pulled around by the mind. And this week, I want to talk about another aspect, which is gentleness and kindness. Because that's maybe the other side of the discipline and energy. If your practice is just about pushing yourself and insisting and demanding, and it's really one-sided, it's out of balance. Because that needs to, that discipline and the energy put into sitting upright and letting go of thinking and allowing emotions to arise, abide, and pass away, and letting go of the story about them, and those kinds of aspects of it need to be balanced by an attitude of generosity and compassion. It's really important that you be gentle with yourself in this process. It's not about killing yourself. Reb Anderson said once that he did not approve of this. He was confessing, right? That he used to talk to himself as follows: if you fall asleep, I'm going to stab you in the thigh. No. No. Don't do that. Sometimes I think, you know, one way of approaching it is to remember that this is something for the rest of your life. And if it turns out that you don't want to, then it doesn't matter. Nobody is forcing you to do this. This isn't the Marines, and it isn't, I don't know, you ever heard of EST? They used to say, you know, like you go into a session and you're not allowed, if you have to go to the bathroom, no, you sit there. If you need to go to the bathroom, please. And we're not doing kinhin these days on Saturday mornings, but that's what kinhin is for. But even in the middle of lecture or in the middle of a period, if you really have to go, please. But the more common kinds of things are, you know, deciding whether to move or not, you know, and I think I said the first day, not moving is really important, but it's not the place to start. And if you think that you may be hurting yourself, you should move. You really don't want to wind up with sciatica. Sciatica is difficult to deal with, and one can get over it and have it not come back again. But it's very painful, and it isn't necessarily easy to get over. Or you could blow your knees out, and so on. So don't don't do that until you learn. You learn gently. You learn your body in this posture, and you learn to distinguish, is this the kind of pain where I'm hurting myself, in which case you should move, or is this the kind of pain that's just stretching out, or that's resistance pain, which is, I mean by that, the kind of thing where your psyche doesn't want to be with whatever is coming up, either consciously or unconsciously, and so your knee decides to hurt in order to change the subject and tell you, oh, you should move. Maybe we should get up and sit in a chair. And, you know, when you know your body, you have a better sense of it, and you know there are times when you should sit still and let that, whatever that psychic pain is, let it arise. You may never know exactly what it's about, but you may know. It may come with some understanding. But that's a time to sit still. But when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, move. And then down the road, you'll get a better idea of it. And it really is important to be gentle and kind. I have a sign somewhere that I took off my altar because I had gotten to the point where I didn't see it. And I keep thinking, oh, I should put that back on. Anyway, it said, take a kindly, friendly interest. Kindly, friendly interest. So, it's really heartbreaking to me sometimes to hear how people talk to themselves. There's so much beating up on oneself. People say, you know, they come and tell me about it, you know, and they say that I'm a failure, I'll never do this, I'll never be able to do this, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, on and on and on, and sometimes really mean. And so the kindly, gentle thing is to notice it. Notice what that feels like in your body when you talk to yourself like that. It hurts. Or it makes you sick. I mean, sort of that nauseous sick. Nobody likes to be talked to like that, including you. You know, it's like, you know, people that are really, really critical, you can surmise that they probably talk to themselves 10 times worse than that. So I don't think you can legislate stopping that. You can't just say, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to be nice. I think you stop it by taking a kindly, friendly interest and noticing and noticing and noticing and noticing and noticing what it feels like. Say, oh, and take a breath and exhale and let it go. But keep the attention on the body. And eventually, probably, you will drop it or at least loosen your grip on it. Like I talked about Uchiyama's phrase, opening the hand of thought. And what he means by that is how hard we grasp onto our ideas and our opinions. And the ones we hold, I think, the hardest, I'm hurting my hand, we hold the hardest are our ideas about ourselves. And it's not easy to let them go. I feel like I let go of being critical of myself for being critical of myself. And that's a lot. So, and I catch it much sooner. So you need to figure out your own patterns in your own body and mind. And just, but be gentle with yourself, be compassionate, be sweet with yourself to the extent you can. And when you can't, don't beat yourself up about beating yourself up. Which is easy to say, but these things are difficult. This is, you know, this is a practice of, I started to say practice of a lifetime, maybe it is, but it certainly is a long-term practice. It's not something that's going to change overnight. And in the process, you get to know yourself. Sometimes when you're obsessing and kind of torturing yourself with some line of thought that keeps coming back, and you drop it and it's back again, you drop it and it's back again, it's useful to ask yourself, what is this? Or kind of turn, you know, this is an internal dialogue, so you know, turn to that voice and say, what are you trying to say to me? What is this about? And then listen. See what the response may be, because it may well be something useful to hear. I know for me sometimes it's a, there's a voice that I don't want to listen to. And it manifests as rehashing an old argument or some sort of negative thing. And when I turn towards it and ask that aspect of myself, really, what's going on? What is this? And I listen. You know, a lot of it is, it's often for me, and you have your own mishigas, whatever it is. For me, it's often you're not taking good enough care of me, and I don't get enough sleep, you know, that kind of thing. So I find it very useful to listen, right? not be listening to what comes from my head, but listen to what comes from my gut. But very gently, and sometimes it takes letting that tape with all the junk in it, just letting that roll itself out, and then see what's at the end of it. But it's really important that it be gentle, and that the interest be kindly. I say sometimes legislating doesn't work, you know, that saying, okay, I'm going to be nice. I have another one similar, which is trying doesn't work. Just let it be. It doesn't have to be Mother Mary comes to you. You can just let it be. Without regard to another being. You know, I'm referring to George Harrison's song. Does everybody know that song? Yes, pretty. What?
Let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Yeah. Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And I think he's also, it's to address to Krishna or whatever, but I'm just saying, you can just say it to yourself, just let it be. Allowing. So much of this practice is about allowing, but it's hard for us to allow. Just be there with it. So that's, I hesitate to say it, the other side, because I always feel like there are lots of facets. But in a way, this is the other side of the discipline. The discipline has to be leavened, maybe with kindness and gentleness. And maybe it sometimes looks like tough love in the sense that you say to yourself, "I need to not move right now," and and your knees really hurt or something like that, or your back is starting to ache. And that may be gentleness right then, but when you're getting shooting pains in your hip, you should move. And only you can really decide. And, you know, if you make sort of the wrong decision, it'll come up again, don't worry. It seemed like I used to have a talent at the beginning, and I would often move towards the end of a period of zazen. I would move, and then, like, within a minute, the bell would ring. I think, I didn't need to do that. But, you know, that's what I did. So I survived, and things definitely came up. So it's useful to take the long view. So do you have any questions or comments or experiences to share? I was afraid I might have scared you away last week. Last week was the tough one.
I have to think about how to say this because it's something that I work with a lot, and the way I come to it in myself is that it takes me a lot to notice the difference between compassion for the part of me that's suffering versus the idea of being with but not noticing that compassion is needed for the suffering one. And so, like, early on, it was sort of like hard to, maybe this is a good way to explain it. Early on, it was hard to tell what was being disciplined and what was being compassionate, so that I would say, just be with everything. And so I'd be, okay, be with the painful knees and be with the headache and be with whatever it is, and it's all me. But that was too disciplined. And then the compassion was, there's somebody who's suffering from the knees and the headache and whatnot, and then I want to be compassionate and gentle to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's what I work with a lot. And
finding the balance?
Finding the balance and noticing that there's... Yeah, that compassion doesn't mean distance. I mean, like, sort of... Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hear it translated as being with, but being with can seem to imply I'm like looking at myself and trying to be objective. This knee pain is nothing. It's nothing I should be worried about and move with. So be compassionate to the one who's suffering.
Yeah.
The phrase I use to remind myself to be gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, there's a lot of thinking in there.
Well, it's more like I'm trying to explain something that, you know, maybe there is thinking, too much thinking, but...
Well, I didn't say there was too much. I just said there
was thinking, yeah.
But, you know, whatever works for you, you have to, because there, you know, I'm always concerned because sometimes people do get into a habit that they think a lot. I knew somebody who would, you know, be talking to themselves a lot, you know, during the period of zazen, and we worked with being, you know, you can put your attention on something and you don't have to think about it. You just do it. And there's still some separation, but there's a lot less. You know, you can put your attention on your left knee. You don't have to think, now I'm going to put my attention on my left knee. Now I am putting my attention, you know. You just do that, unless you're one of those people. Like my sister was, she had trouble remembering which was left and right. She was left-handed. She had to write, you know, pretend to write with her hand, and then she'd figure, oh, this is the left one. So that's a bad example for people who have that difficulty. But otherwise, it works. Anything else? this is easy for all of you and no problem?
No.
Well?
Well, sometimes I feel when somebody else is being hypercritical of me, it stimulates me to feel, to go into that self-critical mind and I have to, like, even if I tell them to slow down and be gentle with me, and they're not, I find it's challenging to stay in my gentleness and care for myself instead of get inundated with the critical thoughts of, you know, others who demand certain change because of their feelings. And
well, that's one of the reasons that Zazen is useful, because you do that to yourself. We all do it to ourselves in Zazen. And the other person doesn't even need to be there. And sometimes it's rehashing conversations, and sometimes it's ancient, tangled family karma that comes up or whatever. But in Zazen, it's not simple, but it's simpler. So that's the time to practice letting go of that stuff and coming back to your breath and your body. And maybe feeling what it feels like when you let go of your groundedness and your centeredness, because that's another way of saying it. You look like you're about to say something.
I haven't formed the thought. But yeah, there's something I mean, I'm thinking the same thing as you about how it plays out off the cushion, you know? Sometimes it's, I feel like, coming from other people, or sometimes it's just my own stuff. I guess what I was thinking, that there's just, when the thing about being gentle and kind, then all this sadness comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this.
Well, it probably needs to come up. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's what resistance pain is, that there is sadness that we're feeling that we don't, I know it's true for me, if I don't want to feel it because it's tiring or it's scary or it's sad, you know. And so I'll distract myself. You know, when my parents were dying, my parents died within a few months of each other in 1989. This is not super up at the moment, but when they died, and it was hard for me, and I was also dealing with, you know, you're the next one, so it was my own death and so on. And I just remember we would be doing it as a Green Gulch, we'd be doing walking meditation, we'd be doing Kinyin, and you know, you're allowed to, that's when you should go to the bathroom, right? And so I'd get off the cushion, and I just had the strongest impulse to go to the bathroom, to get out of the zendo. I mean, you can always squeeze out a little bit to make it not a lie, you know, but I didn't need to. And it was hard to stay in the zendo because it was kind of, I just felt like a lot of turmoil. And sometimes just like moving through molasses, you know, it wasn't like I was in touch with any particular feeling. But I knew that I needed to stay in the goddamn zendo. You know, it was not a pleasure. Anyway.
And also, I think, you know, it's so much easier to be angry.
Yeah.
So if somebody feel the criticism either from yourself or from somebody else, it's so much easier to just get angry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Blow it off.
I mean, I'm really good at that.
Yes. Well, welcome to the club. You guys have
confronting.
Yeah. Well, there's often a kernel, if somebody else is criticizing you, there's often a kernel of truth in it. And so then it's doubly easy to get angry.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you want to say, either one of you? I don't know what your experience is. Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely, you know, that's with myself and with others, struggle with the gentleness, kindness, understanding thing. In particular, I think when I'm finding myself, well, it's not like I have this figured out in other contexts either, but in, I'm in a particularly, so I find when I'm in a situation where I'm advocating for other people sometimes, for students, and that is really difficult when I find myself, like, that is a particularly difficult time to, like, feel into the kindness and gentleness for someone else, when I feel like that, I feel like giving that gentleness to this person here is allowing them to be harmful to this person here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always, that's a whole other lecture, but that's a kind of a koan, you know, when, how do you set boundaries? How do you be fierce without being angry or vindictive? And walking that line, it's not easy. It's not easy, because sometimes kindness, in that kind of context, sometimes kindness is raising your voice, or sometimes kindness is saying no. You know, so it's not, it's not like you suddenly become this, okay. That's not necessarily kindness at all. So it's hard. And it's same with yourself. That's why I said, you know, being kind to yourself might mean, no, I'm going to stay in the Zendo right now. No, I'm not going to move. And I'm sorry, Ni. You know, so there's not, you know, there's not a rule. But it's and it's difficult. Did you want to say anything?
I guess for me, what you were saying about, you know, this is going to be, this is like a lifetime practice, and that's something that I sort of came to when I started doing it about 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to get that, oh, am I doing it right, or this sake, or you stop short, you know, and just sort of concluding for myself, well, if this is going to happen almost every day for the rest of my life, then what's one day that I get up because my knee, you know, mm-hmm. it's okay to do that, and there's something maybe there to pay attention to. So I understood what you were saying. All right, you know,
yeah.
I feel like that's a good way to take it, like in the long view of it.
Yeah, well, that's right. And there are times when you should move and times when you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I knew somebody that told me they sat at home, and they sat until they started to get anxious, and then they got up. I said, that's when you should keep sitting. You know, not forever, but, you know, like set a timer somewhere where you can't see it, and then sit whatever that is. And 'cause when you start getting anxious, that's often when you're actually getting close to something that maybe you don't want to look at and that you should look at. I have a theory that your psyche probably won't let up any more than you could stand anyway. But again, if you really don't want to look at it, don't look at it. You know, don't torture yourself. You are the only one that can really find that balance, and nobody can know, you know, how much does your hip hurt, how much does your back hurt, what kind of pain it is. You're the only one who can know that. So just try to wobble. You know, you get up too soon one time, and then the next time you sit too long, and you know, you need to go stretch your back the next day or something. It's all right. Just don't lurch. Don't blow your knees out, or don't give yourself sciatica. And we should stop.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow.